We can find Daryl and Aaron in every prayer meeting. So is Peter. every prayer meeting. I'm lagging behind. You know, sometimes I'm tired. I miss, like, you know, they're still there. And I'm going, oh, if I'm not careful, they will overtake us. They are praying people. You know, I love praying people. I feel get really close very quickly. Anyway, so Daryl, I've asked Daryl to bring us a New Year's message. Are you ready to bring us powerful message of hope, or is it brimstone and fire? No, message of hope about Great Commission and going forward. Yeah, let's welcome Daryl. Yeah. All right. Wonderful. Father, we thank you for Daryl and Aaron and their life, and Lord, who they are before you, Lord, the people of integrity, Lord, people of deep prayer and communion with you, people who reach out and love, Lord, people, Father God, and people of obedience, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that your word will just flow out so freely and bless us, and let the good words be sown in our heart and bring forth much fruit. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We pray that you bless Daryl as he speaks. Lord, let your spirit and anointing and joy, oh God, bless him today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Bless you, brother.
Okay, you hear me? I don't know if it's good news or not, but that you can hear me. I'll do my best to. I use a lot of scripture, so bear with me. I got 37 scriptures to go through because I often let the scripture do the talking because sometimes I talk nonsense. Sincerely pray that God will use me tonight, this morning, O Father, to bring forth your word, O Father, because it's about you, and it's all about you. And we pray that your word will give us direction in the days to come, in the name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen. Year 2017 has been a very interesting year, isn't it? Yet nothing surprised God, right? He's not there, scratching his head. I wonder what's happening. Many Christians in war-torn countries have faced very severe persecution. Persecution beyond imagination. We came from Germany. We know what the Jews have gone through during Holocaust. Not only Holocaust, that was just the tip of the iceberg, right through almost 2,000 years. And they're very heartbreaking. And I always pray, God, let me get used to these things so that I will never stop my prayer for Jews and the suffering people. Amen. And today Syria lies in ruins. It was a peaceful country. We were in the Middle East for 7 years, so we have met Syrians, Syrian Christians especially. It was a peaceful country as far as citizens were concerned, and was a safe haven for the Christians who were fleeing from neighboring countries. It was a country that loved the Christians, even the Muslims there. Even some of the refugees we met in Germany just before we came here, they said they would go back to Syria if the war ended. Isaiah 17:1 says, the burden against Damascus, behold, the Damascus will cease from being a city. So as we speak, the prophecies are coming to pass. And some of them aren't as pleasant as we love them to be. Without going into detail, I'm sure we all agree that we are fast approaching the end of church age, or the rapture as we call it. And we must have a sense of urgency to know what God wants us to do. And when he returns, we should be they are doing what he has called us to do, isn't it? It's very, very important. We can see God raising many prophets. And I feel that these will be the days of power. while we see the disasters as well. They will both happen because the Bible says where grace abounds, where evil abounds, grace of God abounds more, okay? So Acts 2, 17 to 21 is coming to pass as we speak. It says, I'll pour out my spirit of prophecy on all flesh. And then it goes on to say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. These are days when if we are open, God, people come on your, knock on your door and say, I see you have something that I want. So be prepared for that. Amos 3, 7 says, surely the Lord does nothing. When he says nothing, absolutely nothing, unless he reveals the secrets to his servants, the prophets. So it's very important we stay tuned and stay on our toes. Not only stay tuned, and be in the center of God's will. Center of God's will. Not pursuing after God ideas and not good ideas. It's very, very important. Joshua 1:8, God said to Joshua, it was a very crucial time in history as well. He said, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So when we open our mouth, make sure, be careful what you say. Because every word we will give an account of. And he says, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And then it goes on to say that you will have no fear. Because we don't have to fear the times that we live in. We don't have to fear the time that we live in. Because if we observe, we are careful to observe everything therein, God will be with us. People miss Jesus. I like to call him Yeshua, that's his real name. But we miss Jesus when he came for the first time because they did not discern the prophecies and connected prophecies with his life. And he did not meet his expectations. Okay? So we cannot afford to make the same mistake ever again. Luke 24, 25 says, then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. So be very tuned to what the prophets are saying. It is far easier, listen to this carefully, it is far easy to humble ourselves and walk in total obedience to the call of God on our lives than to resist the mark of the beast should you get left behind. It's far easier to walk in total commitment to the Lord. Receiving the mark has very serious consequences with absolutely no opportunity for repentance. Revelations 14:9-11. The Bible says in Matthew 16:18, he says, I'll build my church and gates shall not prevail against it. I'll build my church and gates shall not prevail against it. Then 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. So we see two things. Gates of hell are prevailing in this nation. Okay, the media, the education, the entertainment. You look, see, everywhere we look, the gates of the nations are being controlled by the Satan, and we are not prevailing in that place. So we failed. He said, if we humble ourselves and pray, he said, heal our land. Backsliding is a sickness. Our land is not healed. Isn't it? It was what Solomon said, but it's a kingdom principle. Then why is that? With so much of increase in knowledge, we seem to be losing. We just suffered another humiliating loss after many hours of travailing in prayer. We just lost the battle. When something does not work, I like to take a step back and see, am I doing something wrong? Is my strategy incorrect? So I look back. And then I looked at the scripture again. If we are living in the last days, the Bible says, Matthew 24:14, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Is it the gospel of the kingdom will be preached, then the end will come. So we have a responsibility to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth, right? If you do that, everything is going to be all right. So I want to ask just two questions. Meditate on it, that responded in your heart, okay? Do you think that there is an urgence to preach the gospel of salvation as we believe that the day of the Lord is fast approaching? Do you think that there is an urgence to preach the gospel of salvation as we believe that the day of the Lord is fast approaching? Question number one. Question number two. We all have great expectations for the year 2018 and going forward. Imagine if we could have thousands saved every week with healings and miracles. Would you be happy and feel accomplished? Do you get the question? Did you get both questions? Now answer those two questions in your heart. If you gave definite yes answers, and I'm here to say, it's not right. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. I felt that was where we seem to have missed. And Satan is claiming some victory. Let's look at the scripture again. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom, not gospel of salvation, there's a fine difference. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness. What do you mean by witness? That means you know and you know and you know beyond a shadow of doubt, and you are willing to lay your life down for that truth. Now let me tell you something. I'm not saying this because my son is here. I know and I know and I know beyond a shadow of doubt he's my son. And for that witness, I'm willing to lay my life down for that. Honestly, I will. If the situation arises, I'll lay my life down. If someone comes in to your life or your son's life, I'll say, I'll live 65 years now, almost 66. That's enough. I go and let him live. Honestly, I'll do that. Because I know and I know and I know that he is my son. He says, this gospel of the kingdom, when it is preached, when the conviction comes, it is the gospel of the kingdom that we got to preach, then it becomes such a strong conviction, I'm willing to lay my life down for that. The word witness there is that. Okay? It's a testimony. It's an experience so compelling. Luke 8:1. Now it came to pass afterward that he, that is Jesus, went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of God. Not glad tidings of salvation, but glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Matthew 4:17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe in all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Okay? So this was a message Paul also preached to the Gentile church. Paul did not preach to the Gentile church, the message is salvation, but he also said the message is the kingdom of God. Okay, the last verse in the book of Acts, Acts 28:30-31, then Paul dwelt whole 12 years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus spoke about his death. He spoke about his resurrection, but not in preaching. He did that with his close circle. But whenever he preached, he never preached salvation. He never preached the cross. He never preached about resurrection, but he preached the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and the message of the kingdom. Is there a difference? Is it the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of kingdom? Is there a difference? There is a possibility there's a difference between the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. But I did not have enough time because I don't rely on the English translations. But they are so user-friendly. English Bible is so user-friendly. King James Bible only makes it a bit difficult to read, but it's also user-friendly. But if you want to know the truth, you've got to go into the Hebrews and Greek. So I didn't have enough time to say whether the two are different. But there are two things I know. There is a kingdom that is spiritual that comes upon us now because we are made in the image of God. We are royalty. Amen? We are made to be kings. That is why God is called the King of Kings. He is our king and we are kings in this world. We are called to rule in this world. Amen? We are called to rule in this world. So maybe there's another kingdom that's going to come. I was so ambitious, I was going to preach about, share about that as well. But I realized I needed 2 hours to do that, which I'm not allowed. Okay? And that kingdom is a future kingdom, which is both spiritual and physical, that will happen in the millennium and in the New Jerusalem. After the millennium. That's a physical kingdom as well as a spiritual kingdom. And that kingdom is going to have a king. What's the king's name? Jesus. And that kingdom is going to have a capital. Where is the capital? Jerusalem. New York? Amsterdam? No, in Jerusalem. Is it a wonder why Satan wants to see Jerusalem destroyed? Is it a wonder that Father is sending so many message after message for the church to look after them? Anyway, I don't have time to go into that because I want to do is listen to what Pastor George Anadore taught. And then I was going to add on to that in terms of what the future kingdom is going to be. So we want good news, Pastor. I'm not going to do that. So do they mean the same thing? When I looked at most of the relevant scriptures, and I tried to divide them into kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, and I was confused. Okay? But I might do that research a bit later on. One thing that came out is this: the gospel of the kingdom of God must be as God entered, it must be in me before I can take it to the others. Don't try to take people to places where you have never been. It will be like blind leading the blind. So today the question is, before we go into Great Commission, let the Great Commission impact you and then through you into the world. Is that okay? Otherwise, we become people who are like blind leading the blind. Now, I want to have the picture of the tabernacle, if you don't mind. When you look at, I looked at, there are so many scriptures I could have drawn from. So many stories, but I decided to look at the tabernacle because the tabernacle represents Christ and our Christian, our walk from the sinner to the Holy of Holies. It's a walk. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The first thing that you meet is a gate. Now, gate represents what? The great gate is made of 4 colors. And it's all referenced in the Gospels. I mean, God, Bible is so wonderful. I'm sure you and Pastor will know what I'm talking about. I mean, you get goosebumps when you read the Bible. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm only dropped some dots, and you got to connect the dots and make the picture. Because if I were to talk about the tabernacle, we can write books on the subject tabernacle. And I'm going to run through the tabernacle very fast. Matthew is presented him as the king of Jews, which represented by color purple. Mark, son of man, represented by color white. Luke, he is savior of the world, represented by color scarlet, because he died on the cross for us. And John, he is the son of God, blue, which represents the sky, is a heavenly, his deity is represented there. It's wonderful, isn't it? Bible is so good. So you enter through the gate. So you enter through the gate, and what happens is someone preaches the gospel to you, you enter through the gate, and the first piece of furniture that you meet is what? The brazen altar. What's another name for brazen altar? The altar of sacrifice. And that is like the cross. Now we, in the olden days, in the times of Moses, they offered lamb without blemish. Even Moses probably wouldn't have known that God was pointing to the Lamb of God. One day, who's going to be offered on Calvary for the sin of you and me. So when we get saved, the first place we come across is the cross where our sins are washed away. And we are healed. And we are blessed. We just become born again. Wonderful. Okay? Now the problem is this. Most Christians, this is where they stop. They preach about salvation. They preach about the resurrection. They preach about healing. And they preach about prosperity. And all those things happen there. Because the curse that was holding your prosperity back is broken there. The curse that was holding you back from the blessings of God is broken there. Because it takes away your sins and your curses and you're set free to be a free person. And that's exactly where most Christians have stopped. And because they have stopped there, they can't take others to. I mean, we say, oh, we into the holy of your holies in boldness. Try it. Try it and see what happens. So you try the place and all that, and you come. You pass that. I'm going to be very brief, as I said. Do your own Google to the rescue. Right now, you come to the next piece of furniture. What do you see there? You see the laver. What is laver? It's a bowl of water, a basin of water, and the basin of water is covered with mirrors. All the women had to sacrifice their mirrors when Moses built this. Is that he went and collected mirrors from all the ladies and they put mirrors around it. So what does that mean? Say the first thing that must happen in our life after salvation is we must get into the Word of God. Word of God. And let the Word of God cleanse us. Ephesians 5:25-27, husband, love your wife. And your mother-in-laws, just as Christ also loved. In fact, we should not laugh at mother-in-law jokes. Because your mother-in-law, your father-in-law have entered into a covenant relationship with you as well. Because we are one big family. It's when you get that principle, we begin to love Israel as well. Because we are one big family. We go to love our mother-in-laws with agape love. And your father-in-laws with agape love. Otherwise, you can't call your Christian. Okay? So here we go. And cleansing, the washing of water by the word, that he may present herself to him a glorious church. I'll tell you something. When we get married, we become one with Christ. And there must be consistency between me and Christ. Otherwise, it becomes a problem. Okay, so what he's saying is, when you use the word of God, not as a sword, but as a mirror, James 1:23-24 says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, and he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. The mirror is not there for you to fix the mirror. The mirror is there to fix you. Now, if you go and stand before the mirror and you see a little black spot on your face, and you do not go and take a piece of water, put a bit of water and start cleaning the mirror. No, you can't fix the Bible. It's already fixed and it is established. It is you that need to be fixed. You know why I tell people, after you read the Bible a couple of times from Genesis to Revelation, stop reading the Bible. Oh, that's good news. But from now onwards, let the Bible read you. And you read it, you say, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to change? Let the Bible read you. Meditate on it day and night. And every time you open your mouth, speak what the word of God says. So before you go into ministry, you must know your word. Because when you go into ministry, what you're doing is you're proclaiming the kingdom of God, not salvation. But proclaiming the kingdom of God, you will never know the kingdom of God unless you read from Genesis to Revelation. Because Christ is revealed in all the books. I'll pause for a moment for a little advertisement. We have an excellent Bible study which literally does that. And it goes on for 2 hours. I've been to Bible studies. They are 1 hour Bible studies. And they sing for half an hour. And they then pray for one another for 15 minutes. And they do a 15 minute Bible study. And they have 2 hours fellowship and they go home. But this Bible study starts at 7 o'clock in the night. And finishes at 9 o'clock in the night. 2 hours. And you are glued to the speaker because God is speaking through the speaker. And when you are in the presence of a man who is spirit-filled, you don't feel the time. You will know it today. If you don't look at your clock at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you will know it today. right? So we preach salvation, healing, blessings, but the Bible says go beyond that. Because then the washing of the word, until Christ is formed in me. I do not necessarily, yeah. Now the Bible says Jesus is the word of God, revealed from Genesis to Revelation. You will never know him by reading only the New Testament. Because there are so many things in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that are yet to be fulfilled. And there's so many things in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when you read them, they have been fulfilled to the letter, and that is an encouragement to you. Okay? So when God starts to speak into our lives, each revelation is like a peeling an onion. Have you ever peeled an onion? Each layer brings you tears. But you say, I'm not going to let go this onion until it blesses me. So remember the onion blessing. Okay? Onion blessing. So as you read, now as you read a scripture like Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ will live in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, what does the scripture? God, I'm not going to let the Holy Spirit go until he tells me what it means to my life. Meditate on it. Then he will say, you know what that means? Every time, in every situation, you have to give a Christ response because your old man is dead. Whenever your plan, your strategy clashes with the way God would handle it, his one must prevail. So you're at home. Your wife had done something nasty. And you are about to open your mouth. And then he says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. Lord, does it mean it's time for me to die? Yes, time for the old man to die and Christ's response to come forth. Let the kingdom of God live in you before you take it to the world. Right? Is that simple? Do you still love me? Yes. You have no choice. Love your enemies, the Bible says. Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth, again, until Christ is formed in you. This is what the pastors go through. Whenever I have a disciple people, this is what I go through. God, they've done it again. And I am in labor until Christ is formed in him or in you. They go through that labor. Isn't it, Pastor? 1 Peter 18-19. I don't know. This is, for many, it's very hard because we have never had babies. Okay. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your own aimless conduct received by tradition from men, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and spot. He said, the Bible says, God, you bought me. So I'm no longer mine. I'm your property now. He said, yes. You know, we are not going to live in a democracy. We are going to live in a kingdom. And the kingdom is going to call the shots. If he says you are going to wear a green shirt and a black trouser, you either wear a green shirt and a black trouser or walk around without a head. That's the way the kingdoms work. Okay? So, he says, okay, what does the scripture mean? I have been bought by Jesus. Now, I like cars, in case you have any spare cars to gift. Okay, now, I like cars, okay. Now, what I do is, let's say I have a car for sale. So I say, I put an advertisement. Car is for sale, $10,000. And Edwin comes, and he doesn't bargain, he just buys the car for $10,000, and he goes. Now, I tell Edwin a lie. I tell him that I have lost the duplicate keys. So I give you only one key. And then quietly find out, I got his copy of the driving license, quietly find out he lives. In the conversation, I found out that he parks his car on the road because it's a second car. So in the night, I go and I quietly start this car and go for a ride and go and park back. I'm committing a criminal offense. So if I do anything out of my will, see, I was sharing something like this in England, and we were looking after church for a few weeks, and I've been preaching for a few weeks, and then on the last Sunday I was sharing this, and I said, "They, you know what this means? If I didn't see you in church last week, I should be able to come and ask you, did God ask you not to come to church?" And yeah, hey, he owns you. And then I said this, and then after the service, a young couple was there. That guy comes running to me, and he says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was not here last Sunday because I was on duty." Okay? You know what Paul said? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. Okay? You know what this Lord means? Adonai. What does Adonai mean? The owner. In case you didn't know. Your owner. Your supreme authority. That's why the Bible says, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Now we announce a prayer meeting on Friday evening. You got to get up and you come home at start at 11 o'clock in the night, have a little sleep, and then you ask God, should I go for the prayer meeting or not? And if God said, don't go for that prayer meeting, don't come. And if he says, go for the prayer meeting, you come. Don't look at your physical body, because Moses didn't look at his physical body. When God speaks, don't look at your physical circumstances, just obey. And God will give you the strength. Amen? So Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added unto you. Meditate on that. Kingdom of God. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now you ask yourself, do you have righteousness? Do you have peace? Do you have joy? If you don't, then take a step back and see, what am I doing wrong? Ask yourself, what am I doing wrong? Christ must be real in us before we can present the real Christ to the people. Ministry is a spiritual act, just as worship is. Most of you are already doing it, yet the knowledge of it will help you. I know I'm not preaching to this church. I'm sharing so that you can learn it and go and impart it somewhere else, because all you guys are living it. Okay? I hope. Christ must be in us before we can present real Christ to others. Okay? We have to bear fruit that remain. Therefore, the fruit that comes out of us must be sweet all the time, like a sugar cane. It gets sweeter when it is squeezed. Our spirit must become sweeter when we are squeezed. Paul went through a very squeezing time. He says, I said, seek ye for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He was constantly seeking, what's in for the kingdom? What's in for the kingdom? What's in for the kingdom? I've said to my children over and over again, always see what's in it for God and what's in it for others, not what's in it for you. All these things will be added unto you there. I said it at my son's wedding as well. This principle, it works. If you seek the kingdom of God and righteousness, it works, my friend, because my God is not a liar. And he is able. Okay? So Philippians 1:15-20. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy, and some strife, and some from goodwill. It says some people will preach Christ with bad motives. You don't have to judge them. And some with good motives. Some motives are so bad they got Paul in prison. And you know what Paul is saying? But the thing is, Lord, although that pastor has got me into prison, but he's preaching the gospel, people are getting saved, I'm going to rejoice in that, because there's something in it for you. As long as there's something in it for God, I'm happy. Then we read the word Acts 1:1-2. The former account I made of Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Not teach and not do. Okay? All that he began to teach, do and teach. I teach, you do. If you go, I teach, you do, you're done. You're done. Remember that. All that began to, and he passed it on to the next generation. The first book after the Gospels is the book of Acts, not Ecclesiastes. book of Acts action. So Galatians 5, you know, God wants us to bear fruit that remain. So when you eat a sweet mango, plant it, it'll bring sweet mangoes. But if you meet a sour mango, don't plant it. You're wasting your time. So Bible says, for me to bear fruit that remain, I must bear good fruit too. And the Bible says, Galatians 5, 22 to 25, but the fruit of the Lord is love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and it goes on, except that the word long-suffering is misspelled. There's not enough O's in it. It's long-suffering. And when the long-suffering comes, Bible says, rejoice and be exceeding. When was the time you were able to rejoice and be exceedingly glad when suffering came? When was it? It's in the Bible. Jesus says, for the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. Now, what this laver is doing is helping the laver, and that mirror, word of God as a mirror, is helping you to become more like Christ. How many of you want to be like Christ? How many of you want to be like Christ? Few. Only few takers. How many of you want to go in the rapture? Tell me, how many of you want to go in the rapture? And if you want to go in the rapture, you better become like Christ. But he's not coming for a baby. He's coming for a bride. The garment of the bride are the righteous acts of the saints. So now I got to keep going, because any minute pastor will start looking at his watch. No, I know you know. Love you guys. I tell you, I love this church. I say it with all my heart. I said to someone the other day, my eye, when I had a problem, it was soaked in prayer from the people here as well as other places. I feel so loved. I love you guys. I say it from the bottom of my heart. So the next thing you meet is a holy place. Holy place. And one of the things that you meet there is a lampstand. And there are seven candles in it. There are seven lights in it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he says, you are the light of the world. And it's the reason there are seven. And the center candle is Christ. And do you know that you take the center candle out? God was taken out from heaven and brought and light the other six candles. And six represent man. So, you are the light of the world, he says. I'm the light of the world. Now I'm going to come down from heaven and lay my life down and give you a path that now you can be the light of the world. And we are the light of the world. The scriptures are John 8:12 and Matthew 5:14. Center candle, okay? Right. And all the candles must burn equally bright. So you're one candle and I'm one candle. I must not secretly be happy when your candle is going down. I must go and say, Jesus, Jesus, Edwin's candle is going down. Please do something. I go to the Lord and pray for his candle. When another church is going down a little bit, I pray for that church. I've been to over 25 countries, ministered in a lot of them, and I've seen a lot. I'll tell you something. You know, so the attitude of most pastors, I'm sorry to say this, not this church, I know, I'm not saying because you are here. I'm going to give an account of every word that I speak. Okay? You know what they do? If the church has 100 people, and if the church is struggling, other churches are in a way happy. They think maybe out of that 100, 10 might go back to the world. But I might get some 25 out of that 90. They don't care about 10 that might go to hell. Instead of doing that, if you were going on your knees and praying, God bless them, multiply them, you know, help them to overcome their weaknesses, how happy will God be? Your rewards and your promotions come from God. When he's happy, you are happy. Joy of the Lord is my strength, not my joy. I believe that what that scripture is, if we can make God happy, I'm happy, I'm strong. If the king is happy, I'm strong. Okay? So, lampstand, that's very important. So, Romans 15, 12, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. That's very important. Now, this is the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, gospel of the kingdom of God. Within the church and the wider body of the church, we must love one another in that manner. Our light must be. Seven also speaks about the seven spirits of God. Isaiah 11, 1 to 4. And it says, when the seven spirit come, what do you do? You do not judge by what you see, but you judge righteously. So your news does not come from CNN or BBC. I don't know what to call them. You know, Amir called them media. It's not media, okay? And your news do not come from BBC and CNN, but from SOG. The Spirit of God is the one who you should be listening to in this time and hour. Amen? How many of you are going to change your channels now? In fact, you know something. You don't need a PTV. You don't need a radio. You can listen to SOG at any time of the day. Because the Bible says, pray continually. God has spoken to me in so many ways, in almost unimaginable places I won't even mention. Okay? The next thing what you meet is the table of shewbread. Okay, it was a table made of acacia wood and overlaid with pure gold, representing Christ in his humanity and his divinity. There are 12 loaves of bread. 12 speaks about the disciples. And 12 loaves of bread on the table, representing disciples. John 6:35, and he said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and who believes in me shall never thirst again. That's the rhema word, Jesus, that we present to people, whether it is preaching the gospel, doing a Bible study, or going witnessing. You must have a word from the Lord. Don't go. I know you don't do that. You don't go and say, are you Christian? No. Do you want to be receive Jesus? No. Then go to hell. No. Don't do that. Although it is reality, that's not the way to do it. You take this bread and you ask God, God, how do you want my conversation with this person to be directed? He might ask you to do something that is absolutely nothing with presenting the gospel of salvation. He might ask him to ask about his wife or the children or something that is hurting. Because at the altar of sacrifice is healing for all your past hurts and sin. Okay? So when you go on witnessing, have that attitude. The next thing you come across is the altar of incense. You know, I was sitting there and praying, God, Joshua, you stop the clock. For Joshua, please stop the clock for me. Right? After incense, so the altar of incense represents prayer. You know something? We want to do all these things, but we don't want to come to prayer meetings, and we want to go to the Holy of Holies. Try it. I said try it. You might be thrown into the altar of incense. Okay? So it says, incense represents prayer altar. The prayers of the saints, it is closest to the Holy of Holies. How many enjoyed Pastor Paul and... how many of you enjoyed Pastor Paul's teaching on the altar? How many? Pastor Paul is looking, so you better lift your hand up. How many of you enjoy his series on the altar? Now, this one, don't put your hand up. How many of you are doing it? How many of you are practicing it? The altar. How many of you have built the altars? Don't lift your hand. We don't want to be hearers only. When we hear, he has spent many, many years. I was shocked when David Wilson or someone, one of the great church planters said, preaching is the biggest waste of time. And ever since that day, I'm very careful. Because sometimes it becomes like going to a movie. If what I've shared this today, Erin knows how many hours I spent on it. How many hours? I could have gone to my computer. I got lots of messages in my computer. But I said, no, I want another word for you, Lord. It's very hard. So Psalms 141, 1 to 2, Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to meet to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out. Let my prayer be set before you as an incense. the lifting up of my hands as as an evening sacrifice. Revelation 5:8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. When you pray, having gone through the laver, your prayers are heard. But if you bypass that, if you have not asked God to make you like Christ, Christ's prayers were always heard. So if I have molded my life to be like Christ, and when I go to the altar of incense and pray, this defeat that we had would not have happened. I'm sorry to say that. I'm letting the scripture speak because I'm scared. Some of the things I say, I get stoned. So when we, without taking shortcuts, come through the gate, passing the brazen altar and the laver into the holy place, our incense and our prayers are heard. This is entrance to the Holy of Holies. Now we can enter the Holy of Holies with boldness. Amen. Jesus always went before the Father with boldness. Amen. Acts 6:3-4. Therefore, brethren, seek out from you among seven men and good reputation for the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint to ourselves. But we, that is Pastor Paul and Pastor Mia, will give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That is why deacons are appointed, not demons. God's answer is the church. I've been a missionary, therefore I can say that. If I wanted to give my experiences about missionary and some of the things that I've heard that I'm supposed to do as a missionary, they're not biblical at all. I can be a missionary, I can be an evangelist, I can be a prophet, but God's answer is not missionary, God's answer is not prophet, God's answer is not evangelist, God's answer is a church. He said, I'll build my church and gates of hell will not prevail against it. The answer to heal the land is church, not missionaries. I can say that I've been a missionary for 10 years. And I've learned some lessons the hard way. So you can write a book on the significance of Moses' tabernacle. I'm only trying to create an interest and appetite. You guys said you all have computers. Go to Google and get some lot of good information. But make sure who you listen to. You know, some of these writers are, I don't know where they come from. How do I know that I have gone through the steps and see if there are any areas in my life I should work on? What are the most outstanding character traits of a person who has gone through this process? I've already mentioned about prayer. Okay? We must be born again and die to our old life and its carnal ways. We are in the world, but not of the world. Because when you're born again, what happened was immediately the kingdom culture clicked in. You were created to have the kingdom culture. When you're born again, your kingdom culture clicked in. Say, Jesus prayed this prayer, John 17:14-18. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. I'll tell you something, you don't go do this, you will have some problems. If you can leave what I'm sharing with you to the letter, you might have some problems. Because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. Jesus said, I am not of the world. Like they are not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Don't pray, God, rapture quickly, oh God, rescue me. No, I'm praying, God, delay the rapture. Because there are so many people who have still not heard the gospel. Whether I go through the rapture or through death, I don't care. I'll go anyway. What's the rush? What's the rush? I don't know. Flying. If you feel like flying, go take a helicopter and get the feel of flying. Or what are the other jumpings that you do? Get a feel of what it means to fly. But don't pray for the rapture to come soon. Because there are people who need to be saved. The coming of the day of the Lord is a joyous and a sad day for Jesus himself. for Jesus himself, because the Bible says his desire is not to pray. He said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. That is a labor. The word of truth. As you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So in other words, when we go to minister, we must go as Christ is, in the character of Christ. This is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus is the only one who came from heaven to earth and lived in this life and showed how a heavenly person lives. Okay? Now when I go to India, I go and show them how the Australian lives. Because I am in the Australian culture, provided it's in the boundaries of the word of God. The moment it crosses the bound, they can legalize anything. But the moment they push me to cross the boundary, I say, no, I'm kingdom culture. Okay? So this is the gospel kingdom of God, right? How we have to conduct ourselves. Peter said, live your life as a foreigner here in reverence and fear. Live your life as an alien. Live a life as 1 Peter 1:17. Why I'm sharing this? Because we have tried hard sincerely and the scorecard is still in devil's favor. Satan's favor. Out of 7 billion people, maybe 1 billion might be true Christians. After 2,000 years, with all the knowledge, with all the power, with Christ living in us, he's got more goals than we have. That frustrates me. That frustrates me. That makes me not take proper sleep. Eric knows it. He is faithful, and if we do his will his way, what he has promised, to heal our land, and when the gospel of the kingdom preached in all the nations, the end will come. So how do I know I have this character trait? Number first one is we become humble. How many more minutes do I have? It's 12 already. 5 more minutes. 6 more minutes. How many of you give me something? Okay, I'll run through a few things. You'll be humble. I have some very practical example of how humility is tested. The humble, like Moses. Moses gives us humble, humility. He gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. The secret of God belongs to those who are humble. God's eyes are always on the humble. Humble know how to handle power. Paul was preaching one day for a long time. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So I'm imitating Paul. So he was preaching for a long time. And a man who was a young man sitting on the balcony fell from the balcony and he fell down and he was dead. Dead in a pool of blood. Now Paul did not take a photograph of him before he fell down, after he fell down. He's praying, record everything, and then put it on YouTube and they sing and go to the radio and all that. No, he just continued with the message as if nothing happened. Humble know how to give glory to God. You know, one day, we humble people are like dead people. In Matthew 17, we read the story of a young man, a father, had a young boy who suffered epileptic, it was serious sickness. So he brought them to the disciples. And this boy, he didn't even have any hair because all the hairs are going after the disciples prayed for him. And brought to him and he said, Jesus! Jesus was preaching like this and all the leaders are sitting in there. Imagine Pastor Paul is preaching and all the disciples are there, the leaders are sitting in there. And this man comes and says, Pastor Paul, I brought this man to your leaders and none of them could heal him. And Pastor Paul, before praying for the person, he says, you faithless and perverse generation. You faithless and perverse generation. That's how Jesus did church. He had a PhD in offending people. Right? What would happen if that happened in this church? Or any church, not this church, next door church. What would happen? What would happen? The elders will get up and walk away. And he will take many with them. And he will go to current affairs in 60 minutes. These people, we tried. Look at that man, even didn't have any hair on. We tried our best, and this is how we were appreciated. And you know what the disciples did? They humbled themselves, and they went, Lord, why couldn't we do it? Because they humbled themselves, they got the secret how it can be done. So humble are teachable. Isaiah 53:7, you know, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer was silent, so he opened not his mouth. He's talking about my God, not my servant. How awesome. Then forgive others. Pastor Paul covered that in very detail. The benchmark is Jesus, Ephesians 4:20, forgive as God has, Jesus has forgiven us. You know, we all have no problem. We all have no problem in forgiving, and we don't have major grudges. But then sometimes you have one, just one, that you have not 100% forgiven. You know, I had one situation like that. When I was growing up, somebody did something to our family, to humiliate our family and destroy our family. My mother died of a broken heart. Years later, now I have been born again. I know how to forgive, but I said, Lord, leave him out of the scene, okay? Leave him out of the scene. So he allowed me. He was very patient. And one day, and I was supposed to do the communion in the church, and one day I'm preparing, and it's like hitting a blank wall. And I feel the Lord saying, from now on, you're on your own in your journey. I'm going to step out of your life because you are refusing to forgive so and so. If you want God in your life, you have to forgive. Father, forgive them. You know, Jesus was brought on the cross. There was no skin on his back. His beard was pulled out, and spit was pouring down his face. They were hauling all kinds of insult at him. A crown of thorns was in his head. He's on the cross at a crossroad. He could have said to the Father, Father, I have helped these people. I have fed them. I have raised them from the dead. I have taught them all the good things. And I've done everything. But this one, oh God, please don't ask me to forgive. Did he say that? No. His spontaneous reaction was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, your spontaneous reaction reflects your character. So God says, forgive as we have forgiven. And another quick example is Stephen. Now, Stephen was a new Christian. I don't know how long he has been a Christian. He's such a new Christian, he was not even in the leadership. He was appointed to look after the widows. Like, you know, he's in the chairs and pick the widows up and all that. But that man was so humble. And he read the Bible, and he was humble, and he was doing a lot of good work. And they take him and beat him up, and they were about to kill him. He said, Father, Acts 7:60, Father, do not hold this sin against them. New Christian, we are far more mature than Stephen is as Christians. Why are we struggling in the area of forgiveness? Because we have bypassed the lever, and we are trying to minister in the Holy Father. The last item, this is very important. I'm rushed. Give me 2 moments, okay, Pastor? You give me, have mercy? Okay. Moses, thank you, oh God. Hallelujah. Okay. Moses was more anointed than Joshua. I can prove it. I don't have time. They won't give me time. Moses was more anointed than Joshua. I can understand. Pastor said, have mercy on the people because this is the hottest day. Okay? And Moses was more anointed than Joshua. Now, Moses could not take the people to the promised land, but Joshua could. You are going in the rapture does not depend entirely on the anointing of these two. It depends on your obedience as well. So the Joshua brings the people, the priest carrying the ark, and he says, step into the water while the water is in high tide. They did not sit and say, hey, that's not the way Moses did it. Hey, wait a minute. You young guy. Oh, you're not young, he was 8 years old. But you don't know how it is done. You have to part the water before you step in. We constantly want to speak to the leadership, speak to the pastor. If we have more than one vision, it's division. We want to tell him how to run it. God gives the vision and the direction to the man of God who he has appointed as the apostle in the church. And if you want to know what God is saying, go to the prayer closet with him. Come on Friday. and pray with him. And you will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And then they come to the wall of Jericho. Oh, massive wall. And they're wondering, now what are they going to do next? He says, now we are going to walk, march around the wall. Come on, Josh. You can't move a brick while marching around the wall. No, keep quiet and walk. Don't open your mouth. Okay? So they walk. Day one, day two. They can't see even a crack on the wall. This 25, 24 feet wide wall. Not a crack. But they're walking. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. Now, on the last day, he says, now on the last day, all the priests are going to go before, and they're going to blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet? Yeah. Shh, blow the trumpet, please. And then what are we supposed to do? When you blow the trumpet, shout. Shout? Okay. Shout. Just obey. And they saw wall come down. Radical obedience. The radical obedience. There are only three people who made to the promised land of the generations over the age of 20 that came from. I've got three more. I'm going to stop now. Okay. But promise. Only three people. Who are the people who made to the promised land of the generation that came out of, or the mature generation that came out of Israel, Egypt? Joshua? Caleb, who is? Moses. Why do I say Moses? Moses was so faithful, God took him to the promised land in style. In style. Because we don't finish when we die. Paul says we get a celestial body. You know, when you have never seen me in my 20s, in Ron's age. If you want to know what I look like, look at Ron. Okay? When you see me in heaven, I will not have white hair. I'll have black hair. And I have my eyes were big and sharp, and sharp nose. You might not recognize me because I'm going to get a celestial body that's going to be awesome. So Moses, God take Moses. As soon as Moses died, he was taken straight to the boardroom. Because the Bible says when Moses appeared in the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus, which the disciples did not hear. They would have brought a message from the boardroom of God. If we radically, unquestioningly, unless pastor says he brings a big Buddha statue and Hare Krishna there and says, now all of you are going to bow down before that. Don't do that. Okay, you know the Bible better than that. But all other times, you should know why he is asking you to do that. If you radically obey, you will go to the promised land. Now, as far as the leaders are concerned, they go to the promised land on their own merits. To persevere to the end. This is the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom. It goes beyond salvation. I know I got a lot more to say. In fact, this is one third of the message I want to share. I was so ambitious. But you know, God, it's not by words, it's not by power, it's not by talent, but by your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you will take that which you put in my spirit. Put in my spirit and take it, O Father. Multiply it and plant in the life of all of us, including me. If you say, Lord, I want to be like Christ. If you say, I want to be like Christ, I want to stand where you are. If you say, I want to be like Christ, just stand where you are if you say, I want to be like Christ. I'm willing to pay the price. And lift up your hands and say, Lord, here I am. I feel weak. I keep failing. I'm like Peter. I keep failing. But I ask this day, I choose to be like Christ. Use me for your glory in your kingdom in these last days to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, beginning in my home, beginning in the church, beginning in my workplace, in beginning in the cities, like the river that Ezekiel 47 talks about. And wherever that river goes, even when you do a street witnessing, when you go from this place, you are taking the river of God. And wherever that river goes, that river will heal the brokenhearted. That here will heal people for your glory. In the wonderful name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl, for the challenging message. Let's thank God for the message. I'm going to just close with prayer as we've already made response to God. In fact, I want to pray for God's blessing and health. Let's just pray. If you just put your hand on anywhere you want God to touch. Let's just, I'm going to just pray. Prayer of healing, prayer of blessing. And we're going to break for a tea and coffee. Father God, we thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, Lord, we live a life, Lord, that is not our own. We've been bought with the blood, oh God, and we are doubly yours. You created us, and you've given your life over to get us back, oh God, and we are doubly yours, Lord. Father, this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Can we say it together? This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit dwells in this body. This body is the Lord's. I acknowledge Lord's total ownership of my physical body and my life. Lord, I offer you my energy, my times, my talents, who I am upon your altar, every gifts, calling you've given me. It's yours. I give it to you. And Father, I thank you that by your stripe, I am healed. Release your healing now into my body. In Jesus' name, I receive it. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for touching my body, Lord, and releasing your divine health. Amen. Amen. Father God, I pray, Lord, that we will have wisdom to understand and to apply every word that have been spoken. Lord, we thank you for Daryl. Thank you for many, Lord, who are you have called to this body, O God, to serve you together, Lord, to build you a house, O God. Lord, it's not what we get out of this church, but Lord, what you get out of this gathering, this church, Lord God, for your ultimate end time purpose. And for the world that are lost, O God, Lord, we pray that we will be able to humbly bring ourselves before you. As we offer ourselves on the altar, I pray, Lord, that your highest grace, O God, will be released, O God. The full measure of your glory will be released, O God. Father, I pray that you anoint every heart, every mind to understand your plan and heart, O God. And Lord, we pray you will release, O God, healing and the blessing, the glory, O God, and your presence to be with us, O God. I thank you for Jesus' sake, O God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you. Let's hang around for a little bit of coffee and tea. It's not too bad. 42 degrees supposed to be. Not